This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris and you're listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Gongsi Fa Cai, everyone. Today we have a special episode of Ringgit and Sense to celebrate Chinese New Year. Many of us are definitely excited about receiving ang paos and eating good food tomorrow. However, as with all festive periods, we really should be careful about how much we spend. Here's Joyce Goh speaking to Joyce Chua and Lee Man Wai, licensed financial planners with Success Concepts, to get their take on how to best manage your personal finances during this festive season.
Good morning, Joyce and Man Wai. Tomorrow will be Chinese New Year and many people will be busy preparing for their Chinese New Year reunion dinner tonight. So how much do you think one should spend when it comes to preparing for Chinese New Year and the reunion dinner?
Well, such things need to be planned much earlier. And one thing for sure, you shouldn't break your budget just because it's Chinese New Year. Anything that you spend during festive periods should be based on your own personal financial situation. Having said that, since it's Chinese New Year and it's a festive time and festive mood, let's just look at, say, if you have been spending about 5-10% of your budget on what you call entertainment on a monthly basis, then you can actually extend it a bit, maybe to about 15% of your monthly budget or 20%. Then you must remember that the next few months, you got to could really cut down to make back for that additional budget that you have allocated for the festive period. So it really must be personal financial based, not on... I think during Chinese New Year, a lot of us like to do a lot of let's save some face kind of thing. Let's have a big makan and that sort of thing. So that shouldn't be on top of your agenda. On top of agenda is always your own personal financial situation.
Sounds a little bit like dieting, isn't it?
Dieting.
You can allow to go on a binge over Chinese New Year.
Oh yeah.
And the next few year, next few months after that, you have to sort of tighten your belt.
Yeah, am I thankful that for that I don't have to go on diet during Chinese New Year?
That's a good point. That's a good one. Yeah. Yes. So how should one budget their expenses for festive periods? Like, do we tap into our savings or investments or use current income?
Well, basically, you have to use your current income, okay? Because your savings are meant for certain things. For example, you may have planned for your kids' education or retirement. So if you compromise on that, then you're compromising on your goals. Okay, so it has to be based on your current income and you need to have a plan. You know, how much do you want to spend? How much do you want to spend for your reunion dinner, even ang paos? Okay, how much do you want to give? Are you out to impress your friends and relatives or are you out to impress yourself? Because if you impress your friends and relatives, you may compromise on what you may be able to afford for your own needs and requirements. So really up to what you want.
Speaking about ang pao, since we're on that, is definitely a must-do when it comes to Chinese New Year. So on for ang paos, right, should we follow the market rate or follow our heart or our pockets?
Well, I understand there's a market rate on internet for ang pao giving, you know, from who and to who, you know. I believe, again, ang paos are, of course, necessary. However, you should look at your own financial finances. I've always stressed that. So... my basis of ang pao giving is that you should give based on number one, your personal financial situation. Two, on the basis of the recipient's needs. If, for example, an aunt or an elderly person needs more money from you, then give more. But and you also need to look at how the person can handle money. If you're giving a large ang pao to someone who's just going to splurge it on the next gambling game or on something like alcohol or whatever it is that's a vice, then I think you should actually reduce the ang pao amount so that you don't do him any more further harm. So there's something for him to learn.
I think that's a good point. You know, you're giving someone based on need. I have a slightly different view on this. I feel that giving of ang paos is actually, the significance behind it. You're basically giving ang paos to wish people prosperity, good luck, you know, health and all that. So to me, it really doesn't matter how much you put in the ang pao. Okay? Does it mean that if you put in 100 ringgit, you are wishing 100 ringgit of wealth? Or if you give 1,000 ringgit, does that mean you're wishing a little bit more wealth? I don't think so. So I would give, in fact, for example, like my own self, I give all my family members ang paos, whether they're married, whether they're single, it's the same amount. Okay, and it's a principle of giving to wish them happiness and wealth.
Okay, so it's the meaning behind
it. It's the meaning behind it. So the other thing is, if you feel that someone is really in need of some financial assistance, you don't have to give it in an ang pao. You don't even need to just give it during Chinese New Year. You know, there's nothing to stop you giving more money to people that are important to you.
Over time, rather than a large amount of money and he can't handle it, right? I know someone who collected coupons and just to be in time for Chinese New Year so that he can actually put the vouchers or coupons as into the ampaos rather than just actual money.
Wow, very innovative.
Yes.
Yeah, actually there are some traditions when it comes to ampaos, so like newlyweds. I think some traditions have it that you have to give double ampao. Right?
Oh, yes, that's right. So, you know, it's just a joke. Sometimes I'm always so I'm happy that I remain single during Chinese New Year. I don't have to give ang pao.
That's probably one of the reasons why you're still single, right?
Yeah, of course. It's financial sense and literacy.
Interesting. So what are some of your tips when it comes to saving money during Chinese New Year, aside from not getting married? And forward planning, should one forward plan?
Well, yes, I mean, planning is all about thinking forward, yeah, and see where we can actually save money.
And how can one forward plan?
Okay, look at what is more expensive during Chinese New Year. One thing for sure is going to the hairstylist, colouring your hair, perming your hair. It's more expensive. What other things are more expensive? Perhaps food, you know, prawns, fish, that sort of thing. So go to the markets early. I know they may not be as fresh, but buy them early, freeze them up. Get your hair colored, perm, everything before the prices rise.
The prices rise like sometimes 1 month in advance, you know, when it comes to hair.
Right.
And fishes and seafood. I remember going to the market the other day about 2 weeks before Chinese New Year, two weeks plus. And they're saying the prices are up already because Chinese New Year is coming up.
Buy even earlier. So what happens? Cut your hair even shorter so that, you know, by the time the price rises. I mean, these are really desperate measures if you're talking about such things.
Because some things you can even buy much earlier. You know,
such as
like even prawns, you can deep freeze them.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, and really, I can't tell the difference.
And anyway, I mean, there are certain things that are cheaper during Chinese New Year. For example, soda drinks, you know, certain promotional items. So you can actually delay your purchase and buy it during the promotional period. In fact, I do bargain hunting and check different prices and see which outlet gives me the best promotional prices.
So you check online or you go on the ground to actually go to
Both.
It's also a matter of planning because some things like, for example, mandarin oranges, okay, the earlier you buy, the cheaper. Mm. But don't go and buy 10 boxes 1 month before because unless you can finish the 10 boxes, a lot of it's going to go bad. So you plan. So you buy it progressively. So you buy it when it's cheaper and you slowly add on as you need it.
Well, if you had bought more expensive and you've seen another outlet that sells at a cheaper price, just
buy more.
Value average it down. Buy at a cheaper price so you have a lower average price.
Interesting. So when it comes to the festive periods, obviously we spend a bit more when it comes to that. Do you think it's a good time also to teach our kids on personal finance? Are there ways to teach them on personal finance? And what can they do with their ang paos?
Oh, there are a lot of things that they can do. A lot depends on the parents. Okay, for my kids, I encourage my kids to spend a little bit on what they need, okay, and access to do something with it. And I'm in the financial industry, so I encourage them to invest the ang paos. And I've met clients that started investing when they were students. And I asked them, how did they do it? And one of the things they did was they invested the ang pao money. Mm. So you can do a lot of things with the ang pao money.
One of the other thing is, you know, for kids, I don't have kids, right? Because it's cheaper to be single. I would actually suggest that, you know, at the end of Chinese New Year, you know, gather your ang pao money and then you teach them the concept of jars. Teach them that one third perhaps goes towards spending. I mean, they need to enjoy it. You know, it's just miserable, right? Then one third goes to be invested so that for future planning. One third perhaps to be even given as a gift. So it's to inculcate a spirit of charity. Mm. So asset allocate, put them into jars. That's another method to do with ang paos.
Coming back to Mamoy's point on investing the ang paos, could you share some investment avenues that, you know, parents could look into for their kids this year when they get their ang paos?
Well, there are many ways you can invest. You can invest into unit trusts. Mm-hmm. You can even put it, for lack of anything else, you can even just put it into fixed deposit, although mm-hmm. that's won't give you very high returns. But at least it inculcates that sense of saving, and it's a discipline.
I'm speaking to Joyce Chua and Lee Man Wai, both licensed financial planners from Success Concepts. After this, we'll talk more about personal finance and Chinese New Year traditions. Stay tuned to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good morning. You're listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show all about personal finance. I'm Joyce Goh, and today we're speaking to Joyce Chua and Lee Man Wai, both licensed financial planners from Success Concepts, for a Chinese New Year special. So Chinese New Year, when it comes to Chinese New Year, it's all about new things like new hairstyle, new outfits. Does that make financial sense, in your opinion?
From a financial standpoint, no. Because during Chinese New Year, if you go to a hairstylist, they will probably charge you a lot more than if you had done it 2-3 months before. Okay? So if you can try to get your hair done before, a long time before, but of course girls normally want to look their best and you may stretch it a little bit to sort of squeeze the time frame a little bit. But yeah, so Chinese New Year is not necessarily the best time to spend some of these, to incur some of these expenses.
Yeah, I mean, for example, the Chinese New Year reunion dinner, we bought the voucher from one shop in somewhere near here, like sometime in November. So the voucher is cheaper in November, and we're collecting it today, tomorrow.
And they allow that?
They allow it throughout. So I happen to have chanced on this voucher, and it's cheaper. So it's a lot of planning ahead and making sure that you don't burst your budget during... Because there are a lot of mistakes you can make with your money during Chinese New Year.
Any other experiences when it comes to mistakes?
For example, cookies, right? These are very common during Chinese New Year. And we tend to overbuy and over-order cookies, and we end up... I used to end up a lot of those jars in my... only to be expiring and growing moldy at the end of the day. So it's quite good to actually, think of alternatives. For example, I receive a bouquet of flowers, golden flowers from a lady called Chek Gu Teo. She's very, very good. She decides to give me those instead of cookies, and it's cheaper, it's meaningful. So give things that's more meaningful. It doesn't have to be the same, change in looking for alternatives.
Yeah, Man Wai, you mentioned earlier, make your own cookies.
You can make your own cookies, even hampers.
He makes his own long yolk.
Yeah, long yolk is baked meat.
Yes, meats. Yeah? And you can make your own. You can actually Google it. That's how I found the recipes. And it's so much cheaper. And Joyce has tried it before last year.
Oh, yes, definitely, yes.
And I don't think it falls short.
Yeah, and for example, clothes, you might want to just recycle. No one remembers what was the exact outfit you had 1 year ago.
But it's a tradition to wear new clothes, no?
It's just a change of mindset. Yeah. If you can afford it, that's definitely the case. But we're talking about someone's tight, and we know that with inflation these days, everything else is not going to be very cheap.
But sometimes you're changing your clothes as well. Look at what you're buying. Don't buy something that you can only use once during Chinese New Year. That, especially if your kids are growing.
Yes.
Okay. You buy an outfit this year, definitely they will not be able to use it next year.
Is there a place for rental for Chinese New Year clothes?
I mean, like the oriental looking, like the sums and the samples.
That's right.
Yeah. But even rental, that might be expensive. It might be better off just buying it off the shelf, depending on where you buy it from.
Yes.
You can get outfits Penangite coming out in me. But yeah, depending on where you buy it, it could be cheaper than renting it.
Yeah. So the other thing is, instead of buying something that's just specific for Chinese New Year, buy something that you can even wear past Chinese New Year so that you can use it.
Right. Again and again.
Yes. Coming back to Joyce's point on recycling, that's interesting. I believe, new clothes, that's one thing that some people might want to keep with the tradition. But you can also recycle things like decorations and also like a hamper basket.
Yes, and in fact, for hampers, I believe in building your own, on making your own hampers. It's not that hard, and you just need to decide to allocate, just like money, you need to allocate time to do it. I know Manuai does his own hampers as well, and you can actually put better quality stuff with a longer expiration date. Most of the hampers have actually quite a short expiration date.
So. Yeah, and you can tell it if you know the person that you're giving the hamper
to.
And they like drinks. Yes. You know, you can have more drinks in the hamper. If they are vegetarian or very health conscious, then you can give them things that are more health oriented.
So it's based on the meaningfulness of the hamper, the meaningfulness of even the ampao giving, that sort of thing.
And I think that makes it more significant.
Yes.
You know, rather than buy just an off-the-shelf hamper.
The sentimental value rather than the RM value.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's not always just monetary value.
So coming back to also when it comes to Chinese New Year, some people whip out their credit card and the credit card bill goes off the racks. So when it comes to credit card spending, do you think it's also a good time to use it for big ticket items to build points in a way?
It's only good if you see promotional value in it, you know, because in Malaysia, we have so many festivals. So it's not just during the Chinese New Year. End of the day, it is the value that you're, you know, getting out of the promotional price, just like any of the drinks that's cheaper during Chinese New Year, right, Joyce?
I think with credit cards, the same applies irrespective of time of the year. I mean, credit cards can be very, very dangerous if used wrongly. If you use it correctly, I think credit cards are wonderful. If you spend on credit card and you pay the full debt regularly, no problems with that.
I do something with my credit card. Just to add a little bit interesting thing, I have two credit cards. I make sure one credit card has a date that is like maybe 2 weeks apart, or you know, from the other credit card.
Okay.
So talking about big ticket items, whenever I buy it, of course it is on promotional value, and I've been having done some research, and I will use the credit card has the due date that's just passed, so that I have the full 21-day period to pay. It's not that I can't pay it, but it just gives me a lot of satisfaction to know I've just passed the due date. So I actually choose intentionally two cards with different due dates.
I see. Okay, so it's more cash flow in your hand
for big ticket items. It's not the cash flow. You know, sometimes cash flow may not be tight, but it's just a financial habit.
Actually, sometimes even in terms of cash flow, you can use credit cards for that, because a lot of credit cards offer you zero interest installment plans.
Exactly, and points, right?
So you can spread, instead of paying one big lump sum, you can pay it off over 2-3 years. And I think that makes a lot of sense, especially if you're not paying any interest on it.
Exactly, and credit cards give you points that you can actually exchange for groceries.
Yes, that's right.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And sometimes we forget to use them.
So always do our research when it comes to credit card rewards and points.
Yes, use it to the maximum advantage since you've already got the credit card.
In the midst of Chinese New Year and festive periods, do both of you realize that there are any marketing gimmicks that have come up over the years, or anything that we as consumers should watch out for when it comes to the festive period?
One of the things that I've noticed is that during especially Chinese New Year, prices for things are priced at around 888 or fat, you know, either in the beginning, the middle, or the end. So, you know, so for some things that you may not have thought you wanted it, at this point when you see the prices at fat, you take it pretty much emotionally and say, okay, that's, you know, something I want, because anyway, I believe in numbers and they're going to bring me luck. So sometimes we can actually fall into such marketing ploys, which may not be a good thing for our financial life.
Yeah, very much emotional driven.
So when it comes to Chinese New Year, do you think one should plan a budget? And if we have a budget, you know, what should we allocate the most to? Is it ang paos? Is it Chinese New Year Chinese New Year Eve dinner? Should it be on the clothes, the new things to buy?
I think in terms of budget, it's the same irrespective of anything that you want to do. It's basically a goal that you want to achieve. Okay, so Chinese New Year, what are the things that are important to you? For a lot of people, the Chinese New Year reunion dinner is important. So if that's important to you, I think that's a good time to spend money.
Okay? Absolutely right.
It encourages bonding and brings family closer together.
Yes.
Ang paos, whether we like it or not, most people like it, you can't get away from it.
The receivers like it.
Like
Joyce here.
Exactly.
So it's important to budget for that. You know my views on that. I don't think it's so much the amount that you put into the ang paos, but it's the significance of the ang paos.
It's like, let's look beyond all these things and let's look at the real reason for Chinese New Year is to be to get bonded and to reconnect with our family members. And that's more important than the ringgit value of everything else that comes with it commercially.
Mm. Well, I've been speaking to Joyce Chua and Lee Man Wai, both licensed financial planners from Success Concepts. Thank you for being on our Chinese New Year show for Ringgit and Sense.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Gong hei fa choy to everyone.
Yes. Oh yes, gong hei fa choy to both of you as well. I'm Joyce Goh for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thanks, Joyce. That was Joyce Goh speaking to the good folks at Success Concepts, Joyce Chua and Lee Man Wai. I'm Melissa Idris, and you've been listening to Ringgit and Sense on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.